Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's 2023, and yes, I made it. I say made it because sometimes we may feel like we are barely just making it. Now, it's time to transition into something different. Transitioning into loving it. Thanks for joining me and listening to the Trauma and Social Work podcast. I am your host, Tanya Octave, the Integrative Holistic Clinician. And over the next few months, the focus is on journaling and self-reflection. I took some time off to meditate about what was helpful to others. Sometimes that is hearing my voice with all my crazy ideas. Mostly, it's finding your voice. One way to do this is with some guided support. This season is about supporting you in your journey towards self-discovery. To accomplish this, two things are suggested. One, purchasing Heal Thy Mind, 7 Strategies Towards Mental Wellness, Happiness, and Success, and the complimentary journal, Journaling Towards Wellness, Happiness, and Success. Both are available on Amazon for a low cost. However, if money is a real challenge, contact me directly. I hope you can get the best out of this process. Remember that you also don't need the books to listen. You have choices and you can listen to this podcast in any helpful capacity. For each podcast episode, I will go through the journal touching on things that come up for me, both personally and professionally, and based on just countless of conversations. You will discover parts of my ego and personality as you get to know me through this process. Some you may appreciate, and some you'll just pass on. And all of that is absolutely okay. This journal practice is about you and ways to improve your wellness, happiness, and success. This is why I created this simple plan, the 7 strategies I keep talking about. Let's refresh. 1. O. is for observation to address one's spiritual health. 2. C is for compassion to address and manage one's ego health. 3. T. T is for therapy to address the mental and emotional health. 4. A is definitely for animals to address the playfulness and childlike behaviors, but also considering animals and pets to be supportive in this process. Then there's 5. V is for victims, one's nutritional health. 6. E is for exercise, one's physical health. And then there's 7. S. S is for socializing, relational health. But remember, keeping the primary focus on the self and less on others. This journal is a tool. Some cognitive behavioral stuff, a little play therapy with a dash of psychodynamic techniques. It is not therapy. You are not in treatment. This is not a nutritional consultation or means of doing biofeedback, all of which I'm qualified to do. However, you are simply a listener. I am trying to help those who can't afford, have time for, are nervous, or are antsy about good enough psychotherapy. This may be your first step. Maybe your only step. Maybe you're stepping through the front door. You're curious. And no matter what, you are taking the step towards wellness. You have many options in how you listen. You can decide to follow along with me in your journal. You can journal before or after you listen to this episode. Another idea may be to listen while engaged in another activity, such as walking, cleaning the house, or eating a healthy meal. You have options. It's your choice. And thank you for your support. But more importantly, thank you for your willingness to walk down the path towards wellness. So, let's get started. This podcast is not intended for medical, psychological, mental health, or legal advice. However, I am a licensed professional. This podcast is intended for information only. It is not a formal treatment. Although I provide nutritional consultations, this is not a nutritional evaluation. Although the benefits of biofeedback are positive, this podcast is not a formal treatment. By listening, you are agreeing to these terms. You should seek a professional for individual and specific questions regarding your overall wellness, happiness, and success. Remember, if you are experiencing a mental health crisis, call 911 or go to the nearest emergency room. The reflective question for today: what makes a true friend? I asked around as I reflected on this question, what makes a true friend? And I was told many things, that a true friend is a family member, someone, you know, who has your back, who is consistent with showing up to celebrations and birthdays and significant events. There is a happiness when together with that person. I was also told a friend is someone who shows up for you. You call them, you have a desire to spend time together. Then I took a moment and reflected on the true part. This added a different level of intensity. A true friend is someone who shows up for you, maybe the person who calls you. You're not always doing the calling. The person who is intentional about spending time together. Someone told me, a true friend is the person who is curious about you. Other people shared, true friendships withstand the test of time and over time. A true friend grows with you as you age and as you begin to share similar experiences together. You know, have you ever had those friends from childhood into adulthood and maybe even into your mature and wise years? Kids, I think, are a little bit more forgiving. A 5-year-old told me, a true friend just plays with you. I like it. A 7-year-old told me, a good friend shares their toys, their food, and their shoes. Ah, I thought that was interesting, their shoes. I reflected on this a bit more. You know, that idea of, can someone walk in your shoes? Or would you even give your shoes up for someone else? So I asked. The 7-year-old added, I give them my left shoe and she gives me her right shoe. Huh, I'm glad I asked. Pretty simple. Even for a 7-year-old, there's still something about the importance of having clarity and understanding what someone is conveying. And what I thought this 7-year-old was talking a little bit more in after in-depth conversation was about giving up attachments. How many adults would give up or even want to share their shoes with friends? Maybe if they were going out. But I'm talking about really giving up when you're at the beach and your friend wants to get in the water but doesn't want to walk on the rocks, or it's too sensitive. Do you give up your shoes in those circumstances? A 10-year-old boy said, well, my best friend and I fight. I usually win, but sometimes I stop if we get hurt. Is friendships about building some sort of toughness, a way to maybe manage aggressive feelings or agitations in the body? A 12-year-old preteen reported, my friends don't talk bad about me behind my back. Does this account for being a true friend? Being consistent with no matter who or what is going on in any situation?
Then there are the teens that report, "Ah, there is no such thing as a best friend. I don't trust anyone." Friends don't exist. Only associates, people I hang out with. My best friend is my girlfriend because she has my back. There is a lot to process in these reflections of what a true or best friend or friendship looks like. It's different for everyone. It's different for you. And part of this reflection is to consider what a true or best friend, maybe even friendships, what it means for you. My reflection doesn't stop here. Some young adults tell me friendships are about having someone who is dependable, someone who cares, or even someone who encourages you to speak, to listen to you without giving you advice or direction. Just really connecting with you, hearing what you're saying, trying to understand. Then there are the groups of adults, maybe around their 30s or 40s, who describe long-term relationships, friendships that may have been maintained since childhood, relationships where people become part of the family, and they take on these pseudo-roles of a sibling, godparent. Friendships can easily turn into caregiver roles, and sometimes maybe these roles are temporary, and sometimes a bit longer. Then, as we age, friendships experience loss, death, rebirths, you know, the cycle of life together. Sometimes friendships last because one may feel that's all they have. For example, "I don't have many friends. I talk with Bill, but he only complains and never asks how I'm doing. But I keep calling. He's all that I have for now." Friends can just maybe end up being the people in your environment. Some people say their friends are the grocery store clerks, the dog groomers, even a neighbor. A 67-year-old woman told me as I was taking a walk, "You know, my neighbors, they're my true friends. We have a great time together and we go to lunch. Although she gets on my nerves and then I ignore her for about a week or two. She's still my really good true friend." When you reflect on friendships and what it means for you, does anything that I've shared so far stand out? Do you have similar or different thoughts about friendships? And how would you define what friendship is? Maybe like what the experience is to having a best friend. And is it different than how you think about what a true friend means for you? How has your perspective about friendships changed? Or how has it been consistent? This is an opportunity, if you choose, to explore your thoughts, your feelings, any emotions associated with friendships. For me, I have been present and not present in many ways when it comes to friendships. Yet I still feel this question has a deeper meaning. For me, what does a true friend mean? A true friend is a reflection of me in a relationship with someone else. I'll say that one more time. A true friend is a reflection of me in a relationship with someone else. A true friend is giving me space so that I can navigate my feelings, beliefs, responses, and my interactions. A true friend is more about allowing me and knowing when it is safe enough to allow my vulnerabilities, my anxieties, you know, the uncomfortable parts of my personality to show up in an interaction with others. Let's talk about this a bit more. A true friend is about me learning about myself. For example, let's say I have a childhood friend named Susan. And if I feel I can trust myself and show vulnerabilities, I will share things about myself with Susan. I will tell her maybe some of those secrets that I don't share with others. And there will be times maybe she will agree or not. But a true friend is about my process in trusting others. Remember the teen who reported their struggles with trusting? Trust is about you, not them. A true friend is about me learning about myself. Another example is when I have moments of loneliness, the conscious desires to want to reach out to others, maybe to call, text, or even email, to schedule lunch and dinner dates. When I have feelings of loneliness that arise, I go internal and explore the ways that I'm lovable, that I'm likable, that I am connected to self. I reflect on why the loneliness is arising inside of me. I engage with positive self-talk. This is also a beautiful opportunity to work on stillness and not businessness. Let's say I have a group of friends who want to meet for dinner. Sure, I'll go out and I'll laugh and I'll be present. But I'm always reflecting on knowing more about this loneliness and how it is being experienced for me at any given time. Now, if I'd had the need to go out with friends, maybe I go into a meditation. Maybe I journal. Maybe I practice stillness until the desire resolves. I don't know. What do you think about that? A true friend is about me learning about myself. Remember those who had childhood friends that would stand the test of time? For me, that person was me. My childhood friend was me. I would say part of it are the ego desires that I'm learning to understand. The other part is my spirit guiding me towards the lessons in life that I can learn and that I can master. We all have different ways to look at this. And what does being a true friend mean for you? There's no right, there's no wrong. It's not black or right. It's not even black and white. It's your exploration of this reflective question. I hope that you take some space to think, to feel about the question, and what meaning it may have for you. And before I end, I had a few more other thoughts. A true friend may have preferences, such as calling versus texting, or wanting to have physical interaction. Let's meet for lunch. Let's hang out for dinner. There is something about the need to connect with others. Consider this. Does your bestie connect with you in similar ways that you like to connect? There is something to be said about the mutual exchange of verbal communication as well. Some feelings and expressions of those feelings can get lost, maybe let's say through email or texting. Knowing this, I know change can be hard. Change can also be easy. It's your choice. And if you'd like to choose to call a friend or schedule a dinner date or plan a wedding or a baby shower or even be open to the possibility of exchanging shoes, reflect maybe on what your friendship means about you. And maybe as you change and as you start to grow, hopefully towards a wellness, then change will start to be experienced different for you. Keeping in mind, relationships are a part and a path to help us get to know ourselves on a deeper level. Some stuff we may have no desire to change. That's all right. Then there may be times where we may feel and experience that change is right for us in this moment. So as you continue to take a few moments and reflecting on the question of, or the question in this moment, what makes a true friend for you?
Thank you for listening to the Trauma and Social Work Podcast. I am your host, Tanya Octave. Please share this podcast with others, like if there is a button to do so, and subscribe to my channel. This helps me know the work is meaningful, and I will continue to share simple techniques to help you move towards wellness, happiness, and success. This is also part of the bigger plan, a movement towards affordable group sessions and annual retreats. I will end by saying, in order to complete the journey of life successfully, everyone needs to evolve spiritually. Ancient Kemetic proverb.